Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Sports Card Live. With Sports Card Radio's Ryan Tedders, Colin Tedders. MojoBreak.com's Dan Anderson. And your host, Doug Caskey. Dig it.
The sound of a squealing guitar means it's another episode of Sports Card Live. I'm joined by Ryan. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Not too bad. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. We got another action-packed show. We're going to be joined by Tracy a little bit later, talking about all the Panini happenings that are going down, you know, NBA All-Star Game, you know, stuff at the Summit. You got a bunch of new stuff that just came out, Contenders, and it's going to be an exciting show. We're going to review some products, Topps Magic. We're also going to review Contenders, which I just mentioned. So, and we'll have a free case break spot giveaway as well. So stay tuned for that. We'll give you a little contest number to call in, and whoever calls in and wins is going to get a free case break spot and a momentum case break for tomorrow on mojobreak.com. So fun little contest. You know, I didn't want to hit you right away, but Lakers, man, there's been a lot of talk about Lakers lately. What do you see as a Laker fan? What's causing the Lakers to not perform up to their all-star caliber?
They're just not as good as Miami, as Oklahoma City, as a lot of teams in the league. It's hard to play as good as Kobe Bryant is. It's hard to play with him as a teammate. Dwight Howard is a decent player, but maybe is not as mentally strong as some of the teammates Kobe has had in the past. Pau Gasol is like a shadow of his former self. Steve Nash is 39 years old. So I've been a Lakers fan since I was, you know, 5 or 6 years old, kind of watching the tail end of the Showtime era in the 80s, and then really becoming a fan when I was a kid. After really Magic Johnson retired, they had Nick Van Exel, Anthony Beiler, Eddie Jones, George Lynch, Cedric Ceballos. And then in the same year, they got Shaquille and they got Kobe. So I've been a Lakers fan for a long time. They're just not a very good basketball team right now. They maybe have the players they have are talented. Kobe's still good. You know, all the starters that they have are still good. But they don't mesh very well together. Just not a very good situation right now for Lakers fans. I'm not even sure what they should do. They actually, when they've been patient, are the times that they've kind of come out ahead. I know they were trying. There was the big talk about trading Andrew Bynum for Jason Kidd way back in the day. This was before they got Gasol, and Kobe's even had a little videotape where he said ship his ass out, referring to Bynum and stuff. But then they kept Bynum. Bynum turned into a very good player, and then they ended up trading Kwame Brown and some scrubs essentially for Pau Gasol, and then went on to play in three straight finals and win two of them. I just, you know, it's just the guys that Kobe and Nash are in the back end of their career, and Howard is not. Howard would be better served playing with somebody younger. Like Chris Paul. Deron Williams. Yeah.
Right. It seems like there's too many pieces of that puzzle that should they're all individual leaders, and I don't think they know, you know, who to give the ball to. And it's like, you know, Dwight Howard wants his touches, Kobe has his touches, and it just doesn't seem like, you know, putting together like the dream team, so to speak. You know, we see it in other sports. I mean, look at the Dodgers last year. I mean, they put together this dream team of sorts, and they didn't even make the playoffs. I think it says a lot about team chemistry. And I think like you said with Gasol, and you know, making the three championships there, it was a good chemistry of a team. And now there's just too many different pieces of the puzzle that are not meshing well.
And Phil Jackson is not there. Let's not underestimate how good a coach Phil Jackson was of kind of blending all the egos and blending Kobe's personality with other guys on the team personality. And Derek Fisher is not there, another kind of strong leader. So you lose potentially your two strongest leaders, Bill Jackson and Derek Fisher, and they haven't made the finals since. They've lost either of them. So that shouldn't be, you know, understated. When you lose leadership, especially at the top, things aren't going to go as well. And that's kind of proven to be true, at least the last couple seasons.
Yeah. Well, Dan Rage is live. What's up, Dan?
What's up? What's up?
Got anything to say about the Lakers, or are you just all Warriors right now?
No, I was listening to it, man. You're naming some guys that I remember, like Nick Van Exel. And then wasn't there James Worthy back in the day?
Oh, yes, yes.
And there
He's
was
a great player.
There was Scott, right? He ended up being a
Byron Scott. Yeah,
Byron Scott.
Scott.
And he was a coach at one point, I think. He may even still be a coach.
Yeah, he is still coaching, I think.
Yeah, Showtime was pretty much where it was at, man. They had a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, what do you guys? Who do you think is a favorite this year? Who are they going to be in the finals? Which two teams do you think are early favorites right now before the All-Star break?
Well, you got to look at OKC, man. They're a good team, man. Durant may be the best player in the league right now. Also, Memphis looks pretty strong as well, and they also have a big guy. They got Marc Gasol, who that team started to put it together. That trade that they made, trading away Rudy Gay, was a little weird.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I like OKC. Earlier in the year, I really liked the Clippers because they have a very deep bench. They have backup point guards. Eric Bledsoe is a very underrated young player. The problem with that team is they just don't – Chris Paul has to be – if Chris Paul is 100% healthy and playing at the top of his game, they could give OKC a run for their money in the playoffs. But Paul's been hurt a little bit. They've lost some games recently. I don't see anybody competing with Oklahoma City, barring an injury, barring Westbrook and Durant getting into some kind of confrontation or something weird happening to their team chemistry. They're just a really solid team. Kevin Durant is like virtually unstoppable. And then in the East, I mean, Miami, it's going to be very difficult to stop LeBron and company come playoff time.
What do you think about the Spurs? I mean, they're a team that's there every year, but seem to choke. I mean, somewhat in the playoffs. I mean, they're 41-12. They're 41-12 right now, but they just don't seem that they can put together a playoff run that gets them to the finals.
Yeah, I think they're kind of caught in the Lakers situation where they're just a little too old. OKC, I mean, we're talking Westbrook's one of the most athletic guys in the league, and then you throw in Durant, who's like 7 feet and can do everything as well. And then they have role players, Cephalosha and Perkins and Ibaka, and Kevin Martin comes off the bench. And they, even a couple other guys that they have come off the bench are serviceable. They're just too good a team because Durant and Westbrook are two of the top 10 players in the league. Westbrook gets some hate, but that guy can flat out ball. And he's a good defender when he wants to be. And they have Ibaka and Perkins, who are like just tree trunks kind of. And Collison comes off the bench is another kind of serviceable big guy for them. So they're just a very well-rounded team. I hate to say that as a Lakers fan, but that's just the honest truth about the Thunder.
Well, it's also crazy because they traded James Harden. And they didn't even miss a beat. I mean, people before the season, they're like, oh, man, that's going to hurt them. I don't know why they would make that deal. And they just start the season and they're on fire. I mean, it's like – they didn't miss a beat by trading that guy, and that guy's killing it in Houston as well. So
yeah, he is having a great season.
And Houston's starting to come up a little bit. They're like they were struggling for a while, but I think they're close to the 8th seed, or they may even actually be the 8th seed right now.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of people. I was listening to ESPN today, and they were talking about comparing Carmelo Anthony, saying that he's the best player right now, in the league. But I think there's still a lot of LeBron supporters, and LeBron, in my opinion, is a better all-around player, much better defender than Carmelo is. and seems like he has more drive. He won't give up on plays like Carmelo will, but Carmelo is averaging 29 points right now, so he is leading the league. But what do you think about the Knicks this year?
I they're a good team. I think with Carmelo, the ball just runs through him 24/7 on that team. They don't have a whole lot of options as far as scoring. Like Chandler's not a scoring big guy. Kidd is not a scorer. Novak is just a shooter. I can't even remember a few of the other guys. But, they don't have another guy like a Wade and Bosch in Miami or like a Westbrook and a Kevin Martin in OKC. So, they just kind of ISO. When the games I watch, they just ISO Carmelo Anthony, and he's one of the best, one-on-one players in the league, like by far. So he's going to put up huge numbers and look really good, but I think that's just a function. Oh, they have Amare on that team. I forgot, but even Amare's not, Amare's not like what he used to be. They have to run things through Carmelo. So his numbers are going to probably look better than LeBron and maybe even KD. But I don't think he would have won championships by now if he was as good a player as those guys, I think.
Well, and this industry is, driven by the rookie card. So we've had a few products already come out from Panini as far as basketball products are concerned. Is there any early favorites for guys that you want to collect as far as rookies this season? I mean, I'm looking at the stats right now. You got Damian Lillard, which obviously is, Leaf only.
Right.
So, he's 18 points a game. There's Deion Waiters from Cleveland with 14 points. You got Bradley Beal, Anthony Davis, which, his prices are obviously already high. Harrison Barnes climbing up the ranks, too, for Golden State with 9 points a game. So,
there you go. That's a good player right there. If his stuff's cheap, he's probably cheaper than Bradley Beal, and he's definitely cheaper than anything Damian Lillard. I would look into Harrison Barnes. That kid's got a lot of game. They have some shooters there, Klay Thompson and Curry and David Lee gets a lot of shots. But Harrison Barnes is a very good Andre Drummond, too, in Detroit is a very athletic big man. He was a lottery pick. And even Thomas Robinson, I don't know if he'll ever – he might have the DeMarcus Cousins syndrome, like kind of being a head case, but he's very athletic and has skills, and it might take him a couple years. He's a rookie this season. So I guess those are a couple guys. Drummond, Thomas Robinson, Deion Waiters I've watched a few times and good, and Harrison Barnes. So not excited like about any of them, but they've shown, when I've seen them, they've shown some flashes of potential.
Nice. You watching a couple of Warrior games there, Dan? What do you think about the local boy Warriors?
Oh man, I think Harrison Barnes. I think he's about a year away from being one of the top guys in the league. I think that guy's just got all the tools. He can pass. His defending is so-so right now, but that's always it's always the last thing to come for NBA guys making the transition from college to the NBA is the defense. But he can rebound a little bit. He can pass. He can obviously shoot. He can shoot from three. I think that team's going to revolve a little bit more around him in the next couple years. And, the Warriors team is super young. I mean, Stephen Curry, if he stays healthy, that guy's a top 20 in the league. They got Klay Thompson. That guy is lights out shooting. And the scheme that they have going down now, it's not like Don Nelson where they're, we're going to try to score 130 points a game and try to win a game. But, they're playing good defense. They got a good coaching staff. I'm a homer, and that's pretty much what I pay attention to is the Warriors. But I'm pretty excited, and I think we're going to make the playoffs this year. I don't think we're going to go very far, maybe first, maybe get to the second round. But they're definitely a team on the come up for sure.
And a shout-out to Jayhawk on the chat who mentions Leonard and Fareed as far as rookies as well. And Iman Shumpert, good guys to collect.
Yeah.
Been in a lot of sets as well. You guys hear about this, it's not new news, but Royce White for the Rockets. Did you guys hear his story? I happened to watch one of those Brian Gumbel Real Sports, and they had him on there.
I saw that same thing. Yeah,
did
I saw
that. That was very, very interesting. And, I think he has basically, to give our listeners a little bit of a backlog who may have never heard of Royce White, he was drafted, I believe, 18th overall by the Rockets. Just a superstar talent. I mean, coming out of college, just, you know, a beast, you know, does it all, big guy. And he has anxiety disorder, and it's been documented. So that's why a lot of teams pass on him early. I mean, they said this guy could have been like a, you know, first overall pick. You know, he was that talented, but the Rockets took a chance on him. He still hasn't played a game because he's trying to petition to have his own doctor basically okay him to play because of his anxiety disorder, which they showed clips of him driving with the guy from Real Sports in the car, and he was like, every time I'm driving, I think that people are texting and they're going to run into me. And he said everybody. He's just like, he flips out, and he's his closet. He's also got OCD, so his closet has shirts that are all, you know, separated the exact amount of inches, and, you know, it's crazy how much OCD he has. So he's trying to petition, and he doesn't even care if he doesn't play in the NBA. He wants the NBA to you know, recognize that this anxiety disorder is a real injury. It may not be a physical injury, but it's a mental injury, and he's trying to get the NBA to notice. And it's definitely kind of an interesting story, and whether or not the Rockets get a doctor for him or not is yet to be heard or seen. But I mean, what did you think about that, Ryan?
Yeah, it was an interesting piece. And I think any type of like mental disorder or just anything like that, anxiety, depression, I think should be taken seriously. I think they even asked, they're like, man, so many people would love to be in your position and be in the NBA and make, you know, money and play basketball for a living. And he's choosing not to. So that tells me that he's very serious about the condition that he has, and that he has every right to make sure that if he's expected to, and these guys are expected to travel dang near on a daily basis, play basketball at a high level against, you know, the top competition in the world, you have to be pretty, you know, mentally strong to play at a high level in the NBA. And especially as a rookie coming in, you don't want to have anything physically or mentally kind of wrong with you. So I think he has every right to try to make a career for himself and then also get the right type of treatment for, I'm not a doctor or anything, so I don't know in that kind of situation how that works. There's all kind of legal stuff, and nobody wants to pay for that stuff, and the Rockets don't want to have to pay for a doctor. But, you know, these type of things should be taken seriously. You know, with
and he won't fly. That's another point. He won't fly either. So he really wants to be. He doesn't want to fly with the team. He wants to basically have them, you know, whatever, give him a car or, you know, bus him to wherever he needs to be. So that's another point that the Rockets are saying is, you know, practices, things like that. He may be showing up late too. He may not even be able to practice on certain, you know, back-to-back nights. So it's kind of a I could see both sides of the story, you know. And hopefully, you know, we'll see him play eventually here. Maybe they'll work out the kinks and get him the doctor. I mean, it can't be – I mean, they're paying him enough as it is. I mean, it shouldn't be that expensive to kind of get him a doctor, or maybe they're just against the whole idea of having his own personal doctor and not the team doctor.
Right. Yeah, I hope so, because he looks like a good player from the clip.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, he's a big player with athleticism and – looks like a decent player. So hopefully he can get it all worked out.
He seems intelligent too. I mean, he's well spoken,
right,
as well.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's got a good head on his shoulders, and I guess his college, which you know, shows my lack of college basketball knowledge here. He didn't miss a game in college, so he had the same problems, and they catered towards him in college. So, you know,
right.
It's kind of a crazy story, but like I said, hopefully we'll see him play eventually. I guess he is doing some D-League stuff now, supposedly, but we shall see.
Yeah.
Did you guys...
The story kind of reminds me, and I think I was talking to you about it a little while ago, that it reminds me of Khalil Green. Khalil Green had, like, some anxiety issues, and he was like a... He was a prospect. I mean, he had a couple years in the league. I think he played for San Diego for a while, and then he played for St. Louis, and he had kind of the same issues.
and he just couldn't perform anymore. He just had anxiety about it and just couldn't go out there and play. So, I mean, it does happen. It does happen in sports.
That's what happened in my baseball career.
You got to figure, like, these guys are under, like, tons of pressure. So not even, like, the OCD and everything, but these guys are under tons of pressure to perform in front of, you know, thousands of people in the stadium and hundreds of thousands of people watching on TV. So it's definitely I could see how it could be nerve-wracking for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, I wanted to move on to Topps had an announcement today. They tweeted all day leading up to it. They unveiled the world's largest sports car. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
I heard about it. I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
Yeah, they have pictures on there. They did it in Lakeland, so right where, you know, right around spring training there. It's near Peterson Park where the Tigers have spring training, and it's Prince Fielder, and it's a 90-foot by 60-foot version of Prince Fielder's card in the 2013. So, I mean, he's a big boy, needs a big card anyway. So I guess that's a perfect fit, you know, getting big old Prince on a gigantic card. I wonder how they're gonna get that in a pack.
Yeah, redemption.
I thought. Did you say Lakeland?
Lakeland, Florida. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said Legoland. I was like, weird place, but.
Lego cards. Hey, that might be the next idea, man. Lego cards. You know, Topps teaming up with Legos. You might bring
your
kids in there. But yeah, I would hate to see the UPS guy have to deliver that to your house after you pull the redemption out of the pack, right?
It better be free shipping. That's all I know.
and you know, they have it.
On a
they
semi.
Have a, what's that? On a semi? Yeah, exactly. Maybe
on a semi.
Maybe Prince will deliver that himself. They have actually a picture of him standing on the card, and I mean, he looks really small. You know, maybe he's going to use that in his next, you know, like Yahoo Personals article or something. You know, to make himself look a little slimmer. I don't know.
How big was the card exactly?
90 by 60 foot. 90 feet
Ooh.
By 60 feet. Yeah.
Huge
they
concern.
Had about. They had about, from the aerial shot that I can see, courtesy of Topps, looks like 30 people, like, pulling back the unveiling here. So it's a gigantic card. So I don't know what the ploy was there. I guess maybe to sell more Topps 2013 or something, or maybe to promote that a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm always, like, weary of that type of advertising because it's, like, how do you determine you displaying this giant Prince Fielder card, which probably costs, you know, not – and to get Prince Fielder to show up, let's not kid ourselves, Prince Fielder, I mean, didn't just show up on his own free will. So you pay Prince Fielder to show up, you make this big giant card. How do you directly determine how many Topps Series 1 packs you sold from that type of advertising? I guess that's the only, like, I that's just, you could tell the type of advertising I like to do is, you know, where I know exactly, like, how it's converting for me. So making a Giants car, making a big, huge card, getting Prince Fielder to come out, you know, that's good, I guess, you know, if you have that type of money and don't need to really judge kind of through metrics how your advertising was effective. So
right.
I think it's a cool little thing. I'm sure the people that were there that's pretty sweet. Like, if it was anywhere in California, I would have, went on down. If Buster Posey was on a big giant card, I'd probably go head on down there and check it out. So pretty cool.
Well, that's another good point. Why wouldn't they have contacted the Giants for a giant card? It would be like a match made in heaven. Giant card, giant stadium.
Buster Posey's more expensive now than Prince Fielder. When you're a two-time champion, your price just goes through the roof. So.
And, you know, MVP, Rookie of the Year, two World Championships, you know, makes it a little tough. Yeah, it's kind of interesting there. I wonder if he's going to put a gigantic auto on it, like just take a paintbrush and run across the card. I don't know. One of one. But... I went to, speaking of the Giants, I went out to FanFest. I was signing autographs there. No, I'm just kidding. I went down to FanFest and actually stood in a five-hour line and didn't get any autos. They closed it down by the time I got up there.
Dang, brutal.
Yeah. And I got there at like 8 and everything, but there was just, you know, that many people there. There was probably 60,000 people there, and the event was free parking and everything. So everybody jumped at the opportunity, and we were on the field at least. I guess that's what I can take out of it, is I stood on the, you know, AT&T Park field and waited, but got some sun, worked on a suntan, you know, and that's, I guess that's what I can take from it, is I got a nice little suntan.
Yeah, I can't believe you did that, man. That's it's insane, man. I knew there was going to be tons and tons of people there. But they should have had – did they have, like, one autograph, like, area set up, or did they have, like, different tents and different lines that you can wait in?
They did.
They have it set up.
They did. They had several. They had probably 6 or 7, and they rotated every 45 minutes. My mistake was right when we got let in, I had some 8x10s of Posey. My fiance's little brother wanted a 8x10 of Posey, so that's who I was looking for. I passed up Zito, Brandon Belt, you know, which if I would have had an 8x10 of them, I would have had them signed, but I don't think Brandon Belt would have liked signing a Buster Posey 8x10. I don't think it would have, you know, worked out quite well. But so I passed him up, and we didn't see them, so everybody said, oh, Buster's on the field. So we were on the top, so we had to go all the way down to the bottom. We'd seen Buster signing. We got in the line. And I think they rotated. Hunter Pence came in, and every 45 minutes it was a new player. Bochy, even Sabian signed, which I was wondering if they were going to put a player that's in like a contract next to him so they can kind of like work out a deal while they were both sitting there. They didn't. It was Bochy and Sabian at the same time, so it was kind of, you know, nobody can talk about their contract at that point. And then by the time we got up there, it was Rigetti and Nick Noonan, which was a surprising autograph guest because he
wanted
to. Yeah, Nick Noonan. I'm like, okay, Nick Noonan. I mean, maybe he makes a team this year. Who knows? But we were literally right at the front, and it was 2:40. The event ends at 3, and they just basically put the rope in front of us and said, sorry, guys.
Brutal.
Yeah. I was like, you guys could have told us that when we were way back there if you could have, you know, counted the time and known, you know, hey, you're not going to make it in. You might as well go do something else, like take the dugout tour or walk around the park or something, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So no Buster Posey 8x10 for me.
Brutal.
Yeah. You know, I noticed Upper Deck Golf. You collect golf, Ryan. Have you seen any of the photos of the golf stuff coming out? Looks like some pretty cool looking cards and some of the concepts out there for this Upper Deck Golf.
I saw some of the cards. It looks good. They do a good job with their golf products and stuff. It's nice stuff. It's a very niche audience who collects golf. So, you know, but I think for those people, I think it, you know, people like that. People who play golf tend to have maybe, you know, some discretionary income. So they don't mind buying a nice autograph, especially to see like Paul Kramer and Annika Sorenstam and some of the really good Natalie Gulbis is a great one. I go to a lot of sporting events, so I've been to LPGA Tour events. I mean, so I'm a little familiar with the LPGA Tour and, of course, the PGA Tour. So I think it's a good little thing they got going on over there.
And now, correct me if I'm wrong, Upper Deck is the only one with the golf license, correct?
Well, Leaf made some golf cards. I think all it is it's not even a license. They're just getting individual deals with the players themselves. So they have like an exclusive with Tiger and Rory McIlroy. But, you know, Dustin Johnson can sign for, you know, Leaf if he wants to. Or Panini, I guess, could make a, you know, Topps could make a golf set if they wanted to. It's just getting the, you know, and they could come out with a licensed PGA Tour set.
Right.
But that would be going through the PGA Tour. And then you'd still have to get individual autograph deals with each of the guys, you know, the players themselves with that.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the photos here, and they've got it's called Ink Drivers, and it's the face of the driver, and it's autographed on the driver. It doesn't specify if it's, you know, manufactured or not, because the David Duval they're showing here is number 25 of 25, so I don't know if they, you know, took 25, you know, drivers, or I don't know, maybe they even cut them down to make 25, I don't know, but
I'm sure it's manufactured. Yeah, they probably, just like they do with manufactured patches and rings and stuff, they just got some driver faces, I'm sure, and got them to sign those.
Yeah,
those golf clubs are pricey, man. That'd be a hell of a card.
I'm saying, you know, they could make exquisite golf or something, maybe, and have real drivers. It looks like Sergio Garcia's in the set, Dustin Johnson, Fred Couples. They have a pretty sweet one of my favorite golfers, Payne Stewart, the late great. They have a player worn shirt, and it says the photo that I'm seeing here is. It actually says Payne Stewart on the card from the piece of his shirt. So, and that was number 3 of 3. So I'm sure that's going to be a hot one. So a lot of people like to collect Payne Stewart, but
nice.
You know, we had to get our monthly golf talking because I don't know how much golf we can really talk about on this show. So
probably not much. We probably just lost everyone that was listening just now.
So come on, talk about football and baseball. That's why I listen to your show. but I wanted to get into Tracy's running a little bit behind today. He's going to be on closer to 5 Pacific, but I wanted to talk about some recent releases, and we can all chime in. I know me and Dan just busted Magic and Contenders, and that's 2012 Magic Football and 2012 Contenders, Panini Contenders Football. Two different types of products, two different niches. And I wanted to start with the Magic. Dan, what did you think? We busted almost 2 full cases of it. What is your opinion about the product?
You know, it was an interesting product. I like a lot of the subsets and inserts, like the rookie enchantment, a little bit of a thicker card stock, really cool looking subset. The autos, all sticker autos. Interesting checklist, to say the least. You know, there was like Santonio Holmes that we pulled, and there was a Colin Kaepernick. And then there was a lot of Brandon LaFell and a lot of guys that you haven't seen for a couple years. And it kind of made you think, like, hey, were these some nice extra stickers that were held over from a rookie premiere a couple years ago? But, yeah, maybe. But, you know, it did have a large checklist. It was cool to see guys that we haven't seen all year. I mean, there was like AJ Green. I like the matte finish of the cards. It does, for whatever reason, I was talking to you about it. It reminds me of kind of the picture, like quality, like the photos kind of remind me of like that Bowman product, that Bowman football product that came out earlier in the year. What was it called?
Inception or Signature?
No, Signatures, Bowman Signatures. It kind of reminded me of that. Type of photography where it was kind of cartoony a little bit. I don't know if cartoony is a word, but a little cartoony.
I did.
I just trademarked it right now. I just, you know, multitasking on my phone. But it had that Inception look to it with a thinner cardstock. But yeah, all stickers. The price point, I think, was a little high for what you were getting. I know you're getting 3 autos, but after busting a couple boxes, a couple cases, you see the checklist and you see who you're pulling, and you're like, well, the value is not quite there. But they did a really good job in the subsets. And for set builders and set collectors, I think it's a solid product. For, you know, return on your investment, I'd probably hold off on it.
I mean, I use the term sticker dump. I mean, obviously people do say that, and I know they collect.
I didn't say that because I'm not trying to say it's a sticker dump. Because the product isn't awful. I mean, we've opened up products that were way worse than that.
It's pretty close to me labeling it a suck sack product. I mean, it's pretty close, and that may just be my opinion.
It's a little strong. You're a little out of line, I think.
Well, I didn't quite say that it was, but I wanted to, some of these guys like in this product and you know, people are going to go back to our earlier podcast and say, hey, they never put veterans in there. Now they did. And you're complaining. Well, you know, I just, you know, it gives us a reason to talk about stuff, but like, why was there guys, like you just mentioned, why was Brandon LaFell in the product? Why was, you know, Brandon Flowers is decent. It just seemed really hard to pull marquee rookies. There's just guys on the Beanie Wells, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like I'm scrolling down to LeGarrette Blount. Like, LeGarrette Blount, really? Like, you guys not even starting. You have, like, three carries.
All right. Let's talk about things that were good, all right? the packs were easy to open, and all the cards were facing the right way. And coming
wow.
from a breaker, that's like, I mean, that's worth its weight in gold right there. So
I love how you're playing diplomatic.
Yeah, you know, I'm not gonna let you just trash the product, man. I'm just not gonna stand for it.
And there was good stuff. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm gonna let's talk about what was good. The packaging.
I just did. I just
the
did.
You forgot about the packaging, how easy the cellophane came off. It was a dream, just cutting the knife like right through butter, you know, right through the packaging, you know. But there was Colin Kaepernick in there, which was probably intended to be a sticker dump because they probably packed out the product like 10 months ago, and they're like, oh, we got all these Colin Kaepernick backup quarterback stickers. We're just going to throw this in there. But then he, you know, turned out to be a hit. But there is, to give him credit, Dale Richardson made it in the set, which I know is near and dear to your heart. Dale Richardson, future second stringer for the Rams or whatever. He made
now,
it in the
now
bar.
Now you're just way out of line. You're just talking a bunch of S all the time. the Richardson was actually a redemption.
No, not in this set. Richardson was a redemption in Contenders. We're on Magic.
Oh.
Don't get it twisted there, my man.
Oh, man. Are you sure?
Yeah, no. We had a live Daryl Richardson. It was a little scribble. It was like a D-Rich, remember? It said D-Rich
on
the card.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I stand corrected. D-Rich.
He's like, D-Rich, I'm second to T-Rich, you know? I'm the second best Richardson in the league. Maybe even third best, Richardson.
I'll take second best.
but, you know, and then they have your run-of-the-mill rookies, Chandler Harnish, you know, Vic Ballard, Kellen Moore. It was a big checklist, and that's why, you know, we opened 18 or so boxes, so we didn't, you know, get huge names. But being that the checklist is so big, it's going to be a lot of hit-or-miss cases. There may be cases that are just amazing because – you know, of all the good guys that are on there, like RG3, Luck, you know, Jaquizz Rodgers, guys like that, Michael Bush from the Bears.
You wouldn't be complaining about it if we pulled like 13 Kaepernick rookies or autos out of the case that we did. You'd have been
product
like, oh, this is the greatest product ever.
Product
pulling out my man crush.
Well, you know, my Kaepernick tattoo goes on next week, so it'll be perfect timing for that. So, I have a picture of his face right on my arm. But one of the other interesting aspects of that, and I know I talked to Ryan about this today, was the fact that the autos were all on the bottom of the box, in every single box, and we thought maybe it was an isolated incident and maybe it was just our case. But it was in the second case that we did. It was in a few of our customers went to local card shops. It was the same thing. So basically you got a 24 packs. There's three rows. So if my math serves me correct, that's eight packs a row. So on the bottom of each row was the autos. So, you know, people, we busted this at 10 a.m. on Friday, Pacific time. So we had people watching and they're like, oh man, I'm just going to go to my card store and just buy the last three packs on the bottom. And they did, and they got all three autos. So that just, exactly. And that just makes me ask the question, do you think Topps should have let the local card store owner, hey, you know, you may want to either sell by box or, you know, mix around the box so that, you know, the three autos aren't gone right away. What do you guys think about that?
They maybe didn't know. They may, or they weren't aware. That sounds like something they – wouldn't intentionally would do, I don't think. And I'm assuming it's just for the hobby boxes. And I don't know what the retail configuration is. I know they have blasters and then they do have just kind of loose retail packs available. I don't know about, like, if it's also the same in the retail end of it as well. So I don't know. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe they're really just that. complacent about it, that they're like, hey, we'll just put all the autographs on the bottom. It's easier, maybe, somehow. I don't know. I would think that's a mistake.
I was also, Dan, you're back on, by the way, but I would think that I was thinking at first that maybe they're like, man, everybody's complaining that we're missing autos. Well, if we put them in the bottom of the box, like at the Packer or whoever, you know, you call them over there that does the, you know, product placement, there's probably an official name that I'm, you know, I don't know, pack out engineer, you know, puts them in the bottom of a box. They know that they're not going to short you hits. So do you think maybe that was the reason why, or is it just, I don't know, poor sorting?
I don't know.
It could have been quality control. I mean, you know, we did get all three autos in every box, so that's good. We didn't get shorted. I just, you know, I don't know. I have that's a good question, Doug.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah, I don't know about that. It's kind of crazy. I mean, it like you said, we weren't shorted autos. That's a plus. So maybe that's how their quality control goes. They're going to make sure that you get them by putting them in the bottom of the box. But maybe there needs to be some kind of notice to these local card store owners. Because what do you do if the guy comes in, gets the three autos, and now you got your, you know, he paid, well, what do you think those packs are retailing at, $5? So the guy spent $15, got three autos. Now you have 21 packs left that you're selling for $5, and a customer comes in and says, did you see any autos pulled? What do you got to say? I don't know. No. Are you going to lie? Right? What do you do?
That's a tough situation. It's a very tough situation. And most hobby shop owners probably don't know unless they're watching this stuff getting broken, or they're watching some YouTube videos,
right,
or they're breaking some of it themselves. They probably have no clue. They probably have absolutely no clue, and just open and put it on the shelf for sale, you know, totally oblivious.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that it actually hasn't been talked about on forums too much, and there's still probably guys to this day that maybe haven't even cracked open their boxes yet, or maybe they ordered it from a distributor and it's arriving this week, and they still probably don't know. And, you know, these guys that know about this stuff, I mean, is that considered pack searching? What do you think the morality is of somebody going into a local card store and doing that? You think it's, I mean, it's obviously not pack searching, but you do know where the autos are. Is that... I mean,
educated pack searching.
Yeah, a good way to put it. Exactly. Maybe we can find that on that website. You know, that website we mentioned last week that teaches you how to pack search. Maybe they can do a whole bit and make people pay, you know, $4 to learn how to find magic autos. You know, maybe that's the next step.
Yeah, they actually don't want it to be that easy. That all the autographs are just at the bottom, because then that would defeat the purpose of, I guess, learning how to pack search.
Right.
You know,
I mean, it's crazy because we've seen in past products, like Topps Chrome, we'll open up a couple boxes and it seems like the auto's in relatively the same place. But it's never like dead on. Every box is exactly the same. And that's what we were dealing with Magic. It was every box. The packs were always color coordinated. You knew exactly like where it was going to be. It was bizarre. It was strange. I've never seen anything quite like it.
Yeah, they had actually, because there was three different colors of packs. So you had the, if my memory serves me correctly, which was last week. I have a bad short-term memory. But there was a green, a red, and a gold, I believe. And they were always on the bottom. And they always had the autos in them. So we knew, you know, three boxes in that we're going to go down the rows. Originally, we started off opening the box, and I'm going, man, you know, this is going to be, we're going to be shorted in auto here because we're already doing the last three packs, you know. But sure as heck, right on the bottom, three autos, boom, right there, every box. So.
Wow.
And it's funny because, like, I know you're talking about this, but I didn't see anything on the forums about it. I didn't see anybody, like, talking about it, complaining about it, like, you know, having any kind of issues with it. And as soon as we opened up our case, I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna go home and check out some forums, and there's gonna be a huge outcry about this. And no, it kind of went unnoticed. So either people are being very hush hush about it, or nobody opened up the product.
Yeah, which could be true as well. I don't know.
Either I don't know.
Well, I mean, for what it is, I mean, and that brings up the question, are people still set building? Is that a dying art form? Because this set is obviously geared towards set building with all the different subsets and the bigger checklist. I mean, Ryan, you put together a checklist. I mean, what do you see as far as trends? I mean, is it geared towards the big hits now, or is it is set building still alive?
I think baseball, definitely people still are seeking out the entire set, maybe more so than football. I guess if you were to collect a set, the Magic wouldn't be bad because it has, oh gosh, I just had it up. It had 275 total cards if you include the SP cards. That's a bigger base set than most kind of sets have. I know people really like the base tops set, trying to build the base tops football set. And then, of course, baseball, you still get that real kind of love for the base set. So I think it's more prevalent in the baseball kind of collecting world than it is in basketball or football. But I think that's why products like Magic kind of don't do as well, because there isn't that desire for, you know, having that entire set in your, you know, in your possession. So more people are just trying to get an Andrew Luck autograph or get their favorite player, get their favorite team's autograph. Maybe they'd like a team set, you know, their favorite team, but I don't think they're actively out trying to get the entire set, you know, on eBay or trying to buy a bunch of product to make a complete set.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I mean, another thing that Topps kind of introduced and went on sale only through Topps.com today was Topps Turkey Red, which I know we talked about off the air earlier. It's basically $19 a box. Oh, and it's already out of stock. Check that out.
Sold out, I think, at least for now.
Wow. Well, it's got a pretty good autograph checklist, and for $19 and guaranteeing one auto, that's not a bad little deal. You know, it's
doesn't seem like a bad deal. I think you have to buy. What's free shipping on their website? $50?
I believe so. It might be 50 or 60.
Yeah, because if you just order one box, you're going to get hit with that $12 shipping, so you're in for 32, which is, and even if you bought two boxes. So you really almost have to buy three boxes, then you're in at about 60, and you get the free shipping. Where if you bought two boxes, you'd pay over $50 just for two boxes. So the deal actually is to buy the three boxes, and then you're saving some money on the shipping.
Yeah, and if you pull one of those Trouts,
there you go. There you go, exactly.
But if, you know, it's that throwback design. There's a lot of, you know, collectors that go after that Turkey Red stuff. I know they've had it in different subsets of, I believe it was 2011 Tops, 2012 Tops. They kind of introduced it back in. It may have even been around in earlier sets as well, but
It was its own brand, I want to say, back in like 06 or 05. For some reason, I remember a 2006 Turkey Red. I think they even made it for basketball and football. There was definitely a football Turkey Red, and I want to say there was maybe 1 year of a basketball. This was many years ago. This was 7 years ago. So it's just a brand that they've literally kind of resurrected from the dead here.
It's crazy that they're out of stock already. I mean, that's just I guess I didn't pay attention. I know when they did the mini online, they had online only, and they also did Magic Football last year that was online only. And I didn't pay attention to how fast those sold out, but I would assume it would be the same. You know, that brings up another discussion, guys, is that, you know, we get our product from distributors, you know, and stuff like that. What do you guys think about Panini sells all their product? Well, most all their football products and maybe even, you know, other sports on their site. What do you guys think about manufacturers selling their own stuff on their site?
It wouldn't make me feel good if I was trying to sell it. If I was the one selling it. If I had a card store, if I was Blowout Cards, if I was, you know, anybody with a retail presence like that, I guess it wouldn't matter so much for box breakers or somebody like doing something like what you guys are doing, because you could always buy the boxes and do a break as you normally would. You're just buying it through Topps' website. The thing I don't like is there's no opportunity for anybody to make money except for Topps. Maybe, yeah, okay, you buy them, and then you make $10 selling them for more on eBay. You buy the boxes for $20, and then when they come out, they're selling for $35 or $40 on eBay. You know, full-sealed boxes of Turkey Red. Big deal. You make $10 a box.
Right.
The big whoop-de-doo. You're not gonna make real money doing that. And I think they limited you to 24 or something. So you couldn't get enough of it to even register on your bank account, I don't think. And these might not even sell for very much more than $20 on eBay. We'll see. So I don't like the fact that when they do that, it just hobby shops can't make money, online retailers can't make money. People, I guess, who rip and flip products, you know, they'll buy several cases of a product and open it all and then sell the single cards on eBay or wherever they like to sell. They're going to have a hard time doing that with this product with one autograph and 10 base cards for $20. That's going to be a tough sell there. I'm sure the Trout autographs are going to be much more short printed than, you know, whatever scrubs they have on the checklist. So it's a tough deal. I don't like it when the only people who can make money is Tops in this thing.
Right. And to give them, I mean, Panini does it too. It seems like they do protect pricing. I mean, to give, I guess to just give Tops a little bit of credit. They don't sell a lot of it. They don't sell as much products as Panini does on their site. And I don't know if this is like a testing the waters type thing, but I do agree with you. It's like, I don't know, you have distributors that do support you for, you know, many, many, many years. And, you know, you are kind of taking money out of their pockets in a sense, introducing this limited edition kind of set to drive sales to your site. I don't know if they're using this to, like I said, maybe to do something later or not. What do you think, Dan? Are you gonna buy a box or two?
No. Well, here's the deal. Getting back to the manufacturers dealing straight to the consumer, they have a lot invested with these distributors, and if I was a distributor, I would be pissed. That's directly competing with the distributor who is supporting them and buying all their product. With places like Blowout and, you know, retailers, it's the prices are comparable. So, I mean, you're not going to get that instant gratification buying something online. You can go into your local card shop, and as long as it's going to be roughly around the same price, you're going to be good.
Yeah, definitely.
So, well, but distributors, that's where the problem lies, because, I mean, they're basically sitting there trying to sell the product to retailers who are trying to turn it to their customers, and here you got manufacturers dealing straight to the customers. So the one person who's really getting cut out of the loop is the distributor.
Definitely. Well, I wanted to preface this next little skit that we did. By saying, well, there's a customer of ours, actually in our chat, Jayhawk. We pulled a Kevin Durant in absolutes. It was like 10 and 11, and it just expired. It was numbered to 25. I mean, like a $300-$400 card that we pulled from Panini Absolute. And we basically contacted customer service for him, and he contacted them as well. And they got back to him right away, and they replaced it with a Kobe Bryant auto, numbered to 25. So it was like really great customer service. I mean, right away, I mean, he literally within a couple weeks got the card. So I wanted to say kudos, Panini, on the customer service. I wanted to get into this little skit, and this is basically a card company that is no longer in business, so to speak. So it's a little skit that we did, and hopefully you guys have a few laughs. I'm going to play it right now, and we'll be right back.
Card company customer service, how can I help you?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I have like 20 outstanding redemptions, and there's one very important one I'm trying to get for my PC. It's at a Julio Jones auto. It's been sitting there for a year. I have not heard anything from you guys, and it's very important to get for my PC. I'm an Atlanta Falcon fan, so if I can't get that, I would like to get like a Matt Ryan, Roddy White, you know, somebody on the Falcons to replace it. So I wanted to see what you guys can do and offer in terms of replacements.
Well, thank you, sir. We do somewhat appreciate your phone call, but we want to let you know the reason for the delay is that we've been printing new cards, and we just really haven't had the time to access your account. So if you could just wait in line, and we'll look for replacements for you, okay?
Well, this whole process has been super frustrating. I mean, I've had to wait. I mean, you have my money already, so I really would like to get this resolved, especially since I called in right now. Can you please look into this? While I'm on the phone, maybe give me a few options on what cards you do have available so that I can go ahead and get these things shipped and add it to my PC.
Okay, well, we do value your business. How's a $9 gift certificate sound? You can use it at an online store.
That's a joke, right? Are you serious with that?
You guys charge $15 to ship, so it wouldn't even cover the shipping. Come on, I want a replacement auto of some sort. I want to know what my options are. So if you could please check for me and give me some options, that would be great.
Well, okay, sir. I'm going to go ahead and put you on hold and see what I can do. And check out our new hold song. It really says a lot about our customer service. So I will put you on hold, and we'll get right back on the line with a great replacement for you.
Great. Thank you.
Value your business. So we're going to go ahead and send you a number to 1500, former first overall pick, Ryan Leaf. Yeah, that's going to be a staple to your PC, cornerstone.
What? No. No. No way. You still have those lying around for one? Come on, man. Are you serious? Ryan Leaf? No. You got to give me something else.
Well, sir, I knew you'd be ecstatic. I'd like to thank you again for calling us and appreciate your business. We'll go ahead and get that Ryan Leaf out to you right away.
Ecstatic? I'm freaking pissed. Ryan Leaf? Have you seen Ryan Leaf? Ryan Leaf doesn't even know who Ryan Leaf is anymore. God, no, I will not accept that card. I will never do business with you guys again if you send me that card. Like, seriously, I told you an Atlanta Falcons card of some sort. I don't even care. Be an offensive lineman at this point. I'll take anything, just not Ryan Leaf.
Sir, sounds like we're going through a tunnel.
Tunnel? You're on a landline.
I can't make out what you're saying, so we'll go ahead and get that Ryan Leaf card out to you. Thank you again for all your support.
All right. Well, that was it. Ryan Leaf. You guys want to collect Ryan Leaf?
Yeah, did you get it? Did you get the Ryan Leaf?
Yeah, it came in the mail. Cornerstone.
Oh, man. Cornerstone?
Yep. Cornerstone. Yep.
Oh, really. Man. That was pretty good, Doug.
Oh, thanks. Cooked it up today. Just some bad experience with a customer service kind of brought that on. And like I said, not pointed at any certain card company. It's a card company that is no longer in business. So we'll go ahead and leave it at that. But before we name the band, that's going to be our contest. So whoever calls in and names the band that was on that hold song might be a little difficult. So we may be waiting a long time for this one. But if you call in with the band, call-in number is 347-855-8815. If you call in with the name of the band that was on the hold song on that skit, you will get a free spot in a case break of Momentum tomorrow done by MojoBreak.com. So that might be a little tough. It dates back to 1985, and I was rocking it when I was, you know, a young man, so to speak, a young toddler. So, there's a lot of issues in customer service out there, and a lot of companies do, Panini in particular does has stepped up to the plate and made some changes. A lot of talks at the summit last year. They hired a customer service. There's a guy, I think by the name of Dave Sharp, who is heading their customer service department that did take care of Greg Jayhawk. And looks like we got a caller. That was quick.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
785, you're on the air. What's up, man?
I know it did not take long at all. That was Faith No More.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Classic.
Yeah, that was
I was listening to that intently because that is a very similar to a customer experience issue that I've had lately too. So that company may or may not be in business, but I gotta say, it's not Panini.
Nice. Well, you get a free spot in the Case Break of Momentum. Hopefully, we can get you a luck or something tomorrow, or you know, something nice along that. And we'll play that sound clip again. Winning a free spot.
Awesome, awesome. I'm not hating on any of the other card companies. I love them all. It's just, it hits a little too close to home with that $10 code thing.
I hear what you're saying, Greg. Well, we appreciate the call in, and you have any thoughts to share? What have you been collecting these days? What's the biggest card you've pulled lately?
Well, as you know, it's usually all through you guys because I don't really have an LCS. It's been that Kobe. That is kind of the cornerstone right now. Most everything else, I think I'm going to unload on COMC pretty soon. It's been just a fun year, and I'm mostly following the NBA stuff right now. I think Panini's doing some really fun and exciting new stuff this year.
Definitely. What do you think about their new Select product that's kind of previewing coming out in the next few months?
I am definitely most excited about that. I just bought the Hornet spot from you guys today.
Nice.
And I was so upset that I missed the cast. I don't know how.
It's that Kyrie. Everybody's going after him.
Yeah, I know. It's the Kyrie. They showed a picture of it on the Knights Lance blog. And I was immediately like, oh, God, I got to have that. It's everything about Prism, but just, you know, that little extra step, you know, that I think is going to be a terrific product. And I'm surprised. I'm surprised right now. Like, I've seen that you can get cases for $1,500. So at $125 a box, I mean, if I had more money than that one team that I got from you guys, I would be like going to town on that stuff.
Nice. Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, we're excited about NBA and Full Swing and, you know, different products. And I guess it was those dummies at Mojo Break that put the picture of Kyrie Irving that made the Cavaliers sell so fast.
The only product, that's the only picture that's been released so far of it. It's kind of secretive, but it looks like it'll have some good players. There's a short rumor about it being the first Alexei Shved auto, but that's hard to believe. It looks like we spoke too soon about product of the year, even though I guess that was 2012 and this is 2013. But for NBA anyways, I think it's going to be a cool release.
Definitely. Well, awesome, man. Well, we appreciate you calling in. We'll have to, you know, you're an NBA expert. You and Ryan should go toe-to-toe on some NBA talk, man. Maybe we'll work you in some segments or something whenever you're free. You know, get you on it. Talk about the NBA trading card. I mean, I'm starting to get hip to it. Dan's probably a little more hip to it than me, but Ryan's an expert. You're an expert. We can start talking NBA more.
Yeah, no, I've always enjoyed Ryan's segments. I've been listening to his stuff for quite a while.
Awesome. That's good to hear, man.
Thanks a lot.
I really appreciate your guys' time, and thank you very much for the spot. I'm really looking forward to the break.
Awesome, man. We'll see you on the live show tomorrow on Blog TV.
Sounds good.
All right, man. Take care. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
That's great.
I didn't think anybody was going to get Faith No More. Jeez, maybe I underestimated.
That was fantastic. I mean, that was really good there. That's some knowledge right there.
I think I can only name one Faith No More song. That's the one that everybody can name, and that's Epic.
Yeah, with the little
pretty
fish.
Much it.
Yeah. Yeah, with the fish video, kind of pioneering rap and rock almost, them and Chili Peppers back in the 80s and 90s there.
Really, Chili Peppers? Huh? I thought you were gonna say like Head PE or, Crazy Town.
Come on, Butterfly was my favorite song in high school, man. Come on. Now.
Oh, I.
Come on,
baby.
Sugar, baby. No, I'm going to stop. We're losing people from the live listening as we go.
They're dropping. They're all. Did Doug just start singing Crazy Town's Butterfly? I'm out.
No, that's my all-time worst favorite song of the year of the lifetime there. Faith No More, epic. You know, that was a good song, and We Care a Lot. Good song for a hold song for customer service line. You know, I might put it on our customer service line. What do you?
We should. We should. I like that jam.
We care a lot, you know.
I'm into it.
Well, again, I wanted to get into contenders football. Yeah, a lot of the short prints, or not a lot of them, some of them have been released, and I think some people on message boards are starting to figure out short prints in 2012 contenders football. What do you guys think? What do you think about the product?
I thought it was solid. It's a staple product every year. I mean, it is like the rookie card to collect for football. It's the one that holds its value the best. It's one that goes up. I mean, look at the Brady's, look at the Mannings, like look at all that stuff, and it just holds its value. And it's usually tons and tons of on-card autos. The one drawback this year is that it seemed like there was like seven autos, like they were like, you know, tons of autos in there, but there was only like one or two on-card autos every box. And that was that was the one downer for me. But you know, the set, I mean, the base cards were super clean, the inserts, the subsets were cool. Autos for days. I mean, people who collect autos, that's your set right there.
Nice. And just to, you know, people that have been waiting for Tracy Hackler, unfortunately he's not gonna be able to make it on the show tonight. But he does promise that he will bring lots of prizes next week. So
it looks like they're setting up at the NBA thing tonight. So yeah, it looked like, cause they were just putting some photos on Twitter from Houston. So really, they set up, you know, the booth, or I guess the booth they had set up at the National, they've literally set it up at this NBA jam session here in Houston. So Tracy's always like a big part of booth set up and like kind of coordinating all of that. It looks absolutely amazing. I wish I was in Houston to come check it out. So definitely not surprised that he's too busy to call in. awesome down in Houston.
To quote the late great Tupac, Tracy, I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at you. So no, he'll come. Yeah, I know he's a busy guy. He tries to do everything, and you know, like you said, the All-Star game going down. Panini's got a big presence over there with the NBA being the sole licensor. Is that a word? I don't know which one's correct, but one of them probably.
When's the All-Star game? Is it this weekend? When's it going down? Crickets.
I think so. Yeah, sir. Behind door number one.
They wouldn't be there setting up a week and a half in advance. I mean, they've got the whole booth set up. So I'm going to say it's this weekend. They have a signing with James Harden coming up at a local card store down there, too. So they got a lot of things going on down there. It should be a really fun event if you're in that area.
It looks like it's going down in July.
I was going to say, Doug was going to answer. He's like, it's in February. February 2013 is when it goes down.
No, it's February 15th through 17th. So you guys were absolutely correct. And, well, I guess we were somewhat correct of saying
it's All-Star Weekend, right?
Yeah.
During the week. It's not baseball.
Well, if they said Rockstar Weekend, we'd be down there because we drink Rockstars.
There you go.
Absolutely. You know, I love it.
How many do you drink a day now, Dan?
I rock a couple a day, maybe two. Three if I got band practice later.
Seven,
13 is all day long.
Yeah, well, the All-Star Weekend looks pretty cool. What's your guys' favorite event? I mean, I'm always a sucker for the slam dunk contest, even though, you know, 25 years in, they really can only do so many things with a slam dunk contest. But what do you guys like best about the All-Star Weekend?
Three-point competition. The only thing I might have a chance of doing.
You bring out your Steve Nash from Santa Clara University days and get up in the three-point contest.
Absolutely. Just sinking threes, man, or, well, probably bricking threes, but, I mean.
On a kid's hoop or on a real one?
No, I'd be shooting. I'd be like, I hit rim. What's up? Come on. I'd be airballing them all day. I haven't played basketball for a long time.
Well, what do you guys think about the All-Star? Have you guys checked out the All-Star rosters? I mean, all the, you know, big-name guys are there. I know David Lee made it from the Warriors, but he was upset that his buddy Steph Curry didn't make it. Do you think that was a snub? Do you think you're a homer. You're going to say yes. But what do you think, Ryan? Do you think Steph Curry should have made it?
I think he's had a really good year. He's on my fantasy team, so actually I'm biased as well towards Steph. So I actually call him Stephanie. So that's actually an affection. That's actually, I'm not making fun of him when I call him Stephanie. So so every time he hits a three, I'm just like, Stephanie! And I like give it a big, you know, hoot and holler. I watch a lot of Warriors games. I don't know if he should be an all-star. There's so many good guards in the West that it's hard to, like, say this guy shouldn't be. And he's had a great season. He stayed healthy this year. He had a lot of ankle problems last year and had a little bumps in the road this year with injuries. But he's played really well. And, you know, maybe if there's an injury here at the last minute, maybe he'll get a shot. I think he's in the three-point shootout. So hopefully he doesn't get hurt. As long as I don't even want him to play because he's on my fantasy team. I don't want him to get hurt because I need him to try to win this league. So I'm actually a fan of guys who don't play in that All-Star game, especially if they're on my fantasy team, because that could just be disaster.
Yeah, did Dennis Scott make it from the Magic?
Yeah. 20 years ago?
Mr. Three? Come on.
Three-point shootout. Legends three-point shootout. Craig Hodges, Dennis Scott, Larry Bird, you know, they could have that.
That's an idea, man. They should do that. I mean, because those guys, he could still shoot threes, right? I mean, you would think.
Latrell,
yeah,
move him up pretty well.
Choke a coach. No.
Choking fools out.
That's an idea right there. Well, I think we got off a little bit on topic of the contenders. I just wanted to give my little piece. I know we're all over. It's kind of like a tangent that we go on this show, but you know what? It's hopefully it makes for great entertainment. One of the things I did like about contenders was the certain players signed, you know, on the side of the card. Andrew Luck specifically signed on the side of the card, which I thought was cool. And it was great that he was a on-card signer compared to some of the guys that were, you know, sticker autos.
So was RG3. RG3 was on-card.
He was on-card, too. But there was, like, LaMichael James, who should have been on-card. He was a sticker. So I think that to kind of give that back to Panini. A lot of people, the sell sheet said two on-card autos like it has done in the past years, and they didn't have two on-card autos. They had a lot of boxes only had one, and then it was sticker autos. But if you look at some of the sticker autos, they look like they were meant to be on-card autos. So I don't know. You know, I don't know if they're going to come back with anything saying, hey, we didn't bring what we promised, so here's extra packs. I don't know if they're going to do that kind of similar to what they did with Cooperstown. But, I mean, it's hard to get – when you release, you know, 18, 19 products a year, I'm sure it's really hard to get on-card autos on everything. That's a big challenge for this card industry is, you know, getting on-card autos.
Right.
So what did you think about putting the checklist stuff and everything, Ryan? What did you find with the set that you liked?
I like that it's, you know, been around for a while. I think I keep all my – the very few nice cards I have in a contenders box that has Kurt Warner on the cover, so it's got to be like an 04 box of contenders that I have.
Good,
packaging. I don't know what the packaging is like this year, but man, back in the day, the packaging was really nice. Like I still use this box of an empty box of 04. I think it's 04 contenders or something, and it's a very nice box. With this year's product, I mean, I don't know. I think. I wish it would come out with this a little earlier. I think I've said that before on some.
Good point.
This thing is like a core Panini product. Like when you think of Panini, Donruss, you know, the whole brand, you think Contenders has got to roll off the tongue pretty quick. National Treasures, Prestige is kind of in the mix for football. So I would just like to see it. And then they could get all the on-cards signed right at the rookie premiere. Like, this could be the second set they come out with. They could come out with Prestige, and then they could hit you with a Contenders and kind of line it up maybe with Topps Chrome or something. I don't know. I think people generally like it. It's one of the Panini sets that people kind of have the name recognition. People get involved in breaks. People buy boxes. You can find it at retail, I believe. Maybe not quite yet. But you can usually find it at retail. for like 30 a blaster or something. So
yeah,
I think, yeah, I mean, I haven't, you know, I always have to kind of, you guys are like, man, you guys open product like this day it comes out. So, I mean,
yeah,
you know, I'm always kind of either watching some of the stuff you guys are doing or some of the stuff on YouTube on my own. When I'm not, when I, you know, I don't have a box to open the day it comes out. So I'd have to kind of rely on you guys for at least kind of a review of the product and how it kind of breaks down and quality of the autographs and so forth. But it certainly, I wish it would come out with it early. Earlier, I guess that would be my only kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, it coming out earlier. Like it being like the first, you know, like basically opening weekend of football would be a great time to release it. You know, I mean, because the rookie premiere, I mean, have these cards out signed at the rookie premiere and then, you know, just release it three months earlier.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here just because it's just something to talk about. But I think the reason why they don't is because these guys don't, a lot of these guys don't have numbers yet. So you'll get a lot of double zero. So that'll be another complaint that people have. Is that, you know, well, Robert Turbin's does double zero. I mean, granted, Luck, Griffin, those guys will have their numbers because they pretty much had their number right when they were drafted. But a lot of these maybe small-time A.J. Jenkins or even smaller-time, you know, like Isaiah Pete or Chris Givens or actually anybody on the Rams for that matter, probably won't even have numbers yet.
Wow.
No, that's a good point, too. And then they always slip in like the kind of more obscure rookie kind of toward the end. And it's always released toward the end of the year. I seem to always remember this with Contenders Football, that it always actually came out. I seem to recall December, more November, December, and maybe that's the timetable. Instead of after the Super Bowl or whatever during the Super Bowl weekend, it just seems like it comes out a little, just a month or two late. But I can see your point. You make a very good point that actually it probably wouldn't work as a you know, a pre-NFL season or that first month because they are trying to dial in some photographs and dial in kind of who they're going to be able to get to sign for that set.
Yeah, and I think the issue with the on-cards this year is, I mean, they did overproduce in autos in every box. It was basically, it said you're going to get five. I would say 90% of the boxes we opened had six. I think there's a couple that even had like seven autos. And I think they knew going into it, they're like, there's going to be more stickers than we expected. So what we're going to do is we're going to add autos to it.
Right.
Which, I mean, you know, a sticker auto is a sticker auto. I don't really have a problem with sticker autos. I mean, what would you prefer? I saw this on Twitter. People were like, what would you prefer, a sticker auto or a redemption? Redemption, you just never know when you're going to get it.
True.
Sticker auto, you're holding it in your hand. I don't have issues with sticker autos.
Or you could hold it in your feet like some other people.
You could. That's a little gross. I hate feet, dude. I know hate's a strong word, but I don't dig them.
Always shoes, right? Do you go to bed with shoes on or what?
I would if I could. I don't think the girl would like that too much, but yeah, I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan of feet. I'm not a fan of like flip flops, and you know, there's a lot of things.
Oh man, there's gonna be we'll throw out your personal Twitter and tell everybody to just send pictures of their feet.
Oh, that man, that'd be rough.
We'll have a contest with put a Rams card in between your toes and tweet it to Dan.
Oh man,
that burned my eyes.
That's just messed up, man.
All right, well, moving on. I don't know how we got on the topic of feet. I think it was my brilliant idea, but repacking has been quite the fad these days, and there's another new card company out there doing a repacking product. I talked to Ryan about this today. Did you catch this new repacking company?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Dan.
You're talking to me.
Yes, I'm talking to you.
Oh, man. I got feet in the dome, man. I just can't, shake it right now. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Doug, tell me more.
Well, it's, it's a prospect-based product, and it's looks like they have learned on past experiences of other repacking companies. Still don't know about the company themselves, but it's they have the stated serial run, so there's going to be 500 serial numbered boxes, and it's a buyback prospect product of baseball prospects. So you got, it looks like the real big pitch card is a Jorge Soler Superfractor Auto. So it's like a $5,000 card. So that's what everybody's going to be chasing. But they do have Archie Bradley, you know, different guys that people collect, Dylan Bundy, Matt Moore, Jerks at Profar. And it looks like it's like they also are making original cards, which you, it says a cartoon character set. Green parallels, blah, blah, blah. They have reward points, so that's kind of similar to the other company out there. It looks like it's going live on March 1st. So it's kind of an interesting little thing. I mean, is this going to be the new fad? Is my grandmother going to start doing repack products?
This is it, man. This is going to be the new thing. Everybody and their cousin's going to have a repack product.
Yeah, it seems like it's the next fad.
You know, the one thing about this industry, it's like from what I see, I mean, it is a copycat industry. You see a lot of people, if they see one inkling of like something working, you got 10 guys the next day doing the same thing.
Yep.
So, people are seeing that this buyback stuff is working, and it looks to be profitable. So you're going to see a lot of them pop up. I have no doubt in my mind that we're going to see a lot of it happen.
Yeah, this it looks like it's $195 a box, and you're guaranteed one big name, one or two BGS or PSA buyback cards graded 9 or better, and then two original cartoon character cards. I'm just hoping to get Daffy Duck, actually, and three free prospect rookie cards or young star cards. So. It seemed like a bad value, but we'll play the wait and see
When you say cartoon character, it's like their own cartoon characters, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't. I don't think you can use Daffy Duck.
Oh, you mean there's like licensing or something like that?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh man.
Yeah, Disney might want a check or two for
using that. I'm pretty sure Disney will frown upon people selling Daffy Duck like portraits and stuff like that. There might be some kind of trademark issue. I'm not sure.
Oh, man. Well, I better just stop drawing these Mickey Mouse faces that I was going to put in people's bubble mailers. Got to stop doing that. What do you think, Ryan? Well, I mean, this repacking stuff. I know we had a conversation off the air, but, I mean, there is obviously legitimate companies out there. Well, what do you think about, people doing this kind of thing?
I think it's interesting. I don't know if it's a sustainable business. Like, are you really going to come out with 12 different repackaged products per year? How much money are you having to front off to buy all the cards, packaging, marketing? It just doesn't seem, for me, it wouldn't be, if somebody came to me and said, hey, I'd love for you to get involved in this repackaging thing. You could get a piece of the company. You could advertise it on your website, blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, no, there's easier ways to make money than that. You see this at retail. Like, you go to Target and Walmart, and they have all these, like, the repackaged Topps packs that are not being sold by Topps. You know, there's, like, get five random basketball packs, and then they always have, like, some semi-good pack right on the front. So, I mean, they're repackaging packs. Here they're repackaging cards. Presumably they bought on eBay. Or they bought it at a big card show or something. I don't know. I don't see it as a sustainable business model. You're going to have all these little companies coming along and making one or two sets a year, if that, or total in their company history. You know, they come out with a set. And the more people do it, the harder it's going to be. For these guys who are trying to come along and do this. It's going to be harder. The more people who do it, and they're like, oh, this is easy. I can just buy a bunch of cards on eBay and blow out and DA will sell it for me, and I can get some, people who rip product to open it for me. And
yeah.
It's going to be a harder and harder business model to sustain for these people who are trying to kind of do something like this. And then eventually Panini, Topps, Upper Deck, people who are making legitimate cards, if you ever start making a lot of money, like in the repackaging game, trust me, they will find a way to make your business more difficult, I should say. You know,
they're not just going to sit back
and watch you repackage their stuff and sell it without making your life difficult in some way. I can all but guarantee that.
Exactly, because I think there was rumblings with a few years ago with one of Leafs. I think it was a retro product. There might have even been Razor at that point. And I don't know for certain here, but I believe that there was rumblings over the Mickey Mantle photo that they used on the sell sheet and saying, you know, you're using our images to sell your product, and that's you can't do that. And I don't know what the end result was of that, but they were like, hey, you know, we made that card, and now you're directly benefiting from our images. So, granted, he purchased that card, and that was the exact card that was going to go into the buyback product, but I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, or do I play one on TV, but I don't know. What do you think, Dan?
I think Ryan was kind of dead on. I mean, if everybody starts doing it, what's going to separate one from the other? They're all going after the same market, going after the same cards, going after the same sport. It may drive the price of cards on the secondhand market up because these repackaging companies are fighting for them. So that might be a silver lining for somebody who's holding onto a card. You're like, well, these companies are fighting over it. It's going to just up the price on it.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, where's the, if there's 100 different companies doing it, where's the niche? What market are they truly going after, and what's going to separate them from everybody else doing it? Seems like everybody is just going to be copying the one company that has made it successful or is making it successful. They're going to copy that one company, and what's going to separate you from everybody else?
People copy people? No.
I'm just saying.
we've never been copied before.
Oh man.
Speaking of group breakers, do you think that this you know, people releasing repackaging products is a direct reflection of the group break side of this industry picking up? Because if a lot of these products were sitting on a shelf and a customer walked in and he saw Triple Threads or he saw Mr. T's buyback product, you know, would I pity the fool, do you think he'd actually pick up the buyback product or he'd go with Triple Threads? Probably Triple Threads. So, but when a group breaker has only this product for sale and a person could sit in the, you know, in their house and just buy whatever the group breaker has, it flies, I think. So what do you guys think? Am I correct by saying the group break industry is directly reflecting these repackaging products?
If they're smart, these people who are making these repackaged products, they could look at it as, yes, sort of like it is kind of a play on repackaging and kind of selling out these single cards. But you guys and people like yourselves help these products get sold. Whereas about a year and a half or 2 years ago, if you came out with a repackaged product, you know, there wouldn't be several online case breakers selling spots in your break. You know, you'd be selling it for whatever you're trying to sell a full box for. You know, very few sites where you're going to be able to put down, you know, a small percentage of money to get a slot. And now it might be very hard to sell slots because how are you selling these slots? You know, you sell them by team? Is it by random? Is it, you know, how, because, you know, you're not sure on a checklist a lot of times, even with the Leaf products, you're never really sure what's in there aside from maybe like a dozen cards. So
it's based on, I mean, it obviously for a group breaker to do it, it has to be one sport or it has to be done as a hit draft. So if you're doing a case and it's promised this amount of hits and you got to basically divide it up and, you know, if it's four hits a box and you charge X amount divided by the box or whatever. So, but yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Dan?
I think you're pretty dead on with what you were saying about it. Only time will tell. The thing is that mystery packs have been around for a long time. And people have been selling mystery packs on YouTube for a long time. People have been selling mystery packs on eBay for a long time. So, I mean, it's not like groundbreaking. It's been going on for a while. It's just now with the group breakers, you have an avenue to sell your product. Even if you're not going to sell it through DA, or if you're not going to sell it through Blowout, and you're not going to get a distribution deal, you have group breakers who will absolutely, because the group breaking is like just it's blowing up. I mean, like you said, it's getting nuts, and you can always find a group breaker who will take a chance on your product.
Yeah.
So it just gives you the perfect avenue of pushing your product out into the public without having to sell it yourself as a mystery box, mystery pack, stuff like that. So I think because there is such an easy avenue to get it into the consumer's hands, I think we're going to see a lot more repacking products.
Well, and to give some of the group breakers out there some credit, there's only so many products you can do. There is lulls and product releases, you know, so you either got to go back in the archive and pull out, you know, 2010 products that were good, 2011 products that were good. So some of these guys fall like, oh, you know, let's try this product, try something new, give a different flavor. Like if we were Baskin Robbins, we'd introduce, you know, the flavor of the month, and that's this new repackaging product. So it's like it kind of breaks away from the monotony of all the products that come out that we all do over and over again. So, you know, I do see why people are taking chances on this product, on products like this, I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, moving on to the next topic, this is going to talk about, well, we don't have Tracy, but we'll have Tracy next week. Like I said, he's not going to make it on the show today. He's extremely busy. So hopefully, which is no fault of his own. I know how busy they are with the All-Star Weekend. He said he's going to bring some prizes next week. So we'll have a cool interview with him next week. We touched on eBay. What do you think? I talked to Ryan about eBay, and I saw your post on Twitter about eBay and group breaks. Where do you think the future lies with group breaks on eBay?
I have it on. I have some contacts at eBay. My brother actually met with some people with eBay last month in Las Vegas and brought up this specific point about box breaking. You cannot offer a box breaking spot for sale. You cannot offer the Indianapolis Colts in a break of 2012 Contenders football. That is against eBay policy. Now, I just got a jaywalking ticket the other day, so it's like, what do you enforce? Are they really going to bust me every time I walk across the street? You know, no.
Good analogy.
So I'm going to still walk across the street. I mean, you know, I'm going to pay this jaywalking ticket, and I'm still going to walk across the street without using the crosswalk all the time. And eBay, sure, they have this policy where they don't, even with a grab bag, and now you see that now where they say, well, you get the Colts, but you also get this grab bag. That's also against their terms of service. There really isn't a legitimate way to sell a box break on eBay. That's straight from the horse's mouth. I mean, this is from eBay. So, and they even took like several weeks to confirm this with me. They didn't just tell me this, you know, right when we asked them. They took several weeks to go to, and then they showed me some examples in their policy and so forth. So, but, like I mentioned with the jaywalking, are they going to enforce it? Probably not. Now, I know of ways that it would get enforced if customers are getting confused, if people go on and report those auctions as being against policy, then they may take them down, but probably not. So if you are selling spots on eBay, if you're out there and you're selling spots on eBay, I don't think your spots are going to be taken down, but I would look for a new model to sell your spots because it's going to be difficult, I think, to continue to try to do that on eBay as a long-term kind of solution.
Yeah, and we started out back in 2010, 2011. I act like it's so long ago, but we started out on eBay, and there was no policy. There was only a few of us at the time, so it wasn't, you know, muddled with box break listings. I mean, you can go on there at any given time and, you know, find 4,000 or 5,000 listings because everybody, one guy has 10 breaks and he lists 30 teams for each one. So one guy has, you know, freaking 300 to 500 listings all running within 3 days, you know, auction, bid. We listed it just as a break at the beginning and we didn't have to word anything or anything like that. And once stuff started hitting the fan, they started pulling our listings. And then, you know, they would say, it's called, what they used was chance listing. You cannot offer a chance listing. So it's similar to
right. A
raffle, I guess, or you can't offer a raffle. It's against their policy. So you can't sell something unless you promise something. So that's when everybody got creative and started saying, you're buying a video, but you also get the card. So you're buying a link to a video. So they had I've heard it all on there. I mean, there's like, you know, you're buying one guy was selling, you're buying my own signature, and then you get the Colts card in a case break. It's like, okay. And then what really sucks for the person doing the break, you know, whether they be, you know, most of those people probably are honest. There's probably a few bad seeds, just like any other industry. But, you know, if a customer's not happy, they just file a claim with PayPal and your money's gone, regardless if you've done the break or not. So we actually had, I think it was 2010, Allen and Ginter. We sold the non-sport spot for we started at 90 cents and it went up to $300 for the non-sport spot in a case of Ginter because, you know, you got all those random autos from the non-baseball guys. And the guy basically got a few flower cards and didn't get any hits in the entire case. And he filed a claim and got his money back right away.
Ouch.
He got 1,000 cards. You know, he got a whole crap ton of, you know, he got the whole non-baseball spot in a case. But he filed a claim. And, I mean, and what's funny, not funny for the seller, but is PayPal won't even, they'll basically shoot first and ask questions later. So once the person files a claim, regardless if it's a bogus claim, they take the money right away from you.
Right.
Instantly. Your money's gone. So now you have to fight a dispute, you know, and then try to get your money back. But they always lever on the side of the customer. So, I mean, literally, as a box breaker, you have to be putting in so much work, answering questions, you know, making sure it's shipping within 3 days, blah, 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 blah. I mean, which, you know, we do anyway. But it's like once you do something that somebody doesn't like, boom, file a claim, boom, you're done. Or
right. They
give you bad feedback. It's just such – I don't know how some of these people do these breaks on eBay without just freaking, you know, crawling in a bottle of Jack Daniels or pulling their hair out because it's just, you know, madness on there. With these breaks, but there's still people trying to do it. What motivated us, and like I said, I'm not touting my own horn, but that was like the first reason we said, you know, we got to do this somewhere else because we can't do this. We can't lie to people and say, grab bag, you're going to get, you know, my mom's business card instead of, you know, if you go hitless, I'm gonna send you a piece of my hair or, you know, sock or something. I mean, it's like, come on, you know, you got to word things so funny. It's crazy. But
right. Yeah,
I wanted you to talk about that because I know you were talking to eBay, so I wanted to get your opinion on the box break thing on eBay. And a lot of people get, you know, really pissed off at show like that are searching for boxes. I mean, somebody wants to go on there and buy a box of contenders or plates and patches, and they have to sift through all the box break listings. It's like a pain.
Right. Right.
So, but. I think that pretty much, I don't know, I think that sums up the show, man. I think we tackled a lot of topics. Hopefully there's more to talk about next week.
Sweet. I'm getting Niner tickets, baby. I might be getting Niner season tickets for the new stadium. Yeah, I'm going on Thursday to take a tour and stuff. So if you need tickets, hit me, you know. You want to go to a game, just hit your boy up.
You're my new best friend. I need that song to play in the background. Let me tell you about my best friend. No, definitely. We'll do that for sure. Maybe you could stop by or something on Thursday too. We can.
I'm coming up with my dad. My dad actually brought it up to me. It's the randomest thing. My dad's like, "Hey, let's get Niner tickets. Will you go in with me on Niner tickets?" And I was like, "It's kind of a little bit of an event." I used to sell tickets back in the day. I used to have a bunch of season ticket packages. So I'm kind of thinking, yeah, it would be actually a good little thing to maybe sell some games that are on the
higher profile, and then also go to some games that are good weather and should be a fantastic stadium. So I should have some news on that end next week. Talk about the stadium and what they got going on over there.
You could definitely, if not break even. I mean, we were a season ticket holder for the Giants in 2009, and like idiots, we didn't re-up in 2010. Lesson learned. But we basically went to like 20 games, sold the rest, and we basically got to go to the 20 games for free. Because I mean, we didn't go to opening day, which our tickets at the time I think were like $12 tickets. We sold opening day for like $75. Because people wanted to go to the first game of the season. So we just basically went to the games that weren't as high profile, like you said, and, you know, had just as much fun and basically got to go for free. So you could literally probably go to, like, four of those games out of the eight, sell the other four, and you probably go for free, especially with the Niners.
Right. So, that's what I'm anticipating. They have a great coach. They've had some success here in the last couple of years. I think they're kind of on the way up. Brand-new stadium. And the ticket prices aren't bad. They're about $125 each, so we get probably two tickets, and they have a seat license and all this crap, so it gets kind of expensive, but, you know, some of those tickets will sell for quite a bit. I know for a fact, I used to sell NFL tickets, and people go crazy for a big game.
And you get first shot at playoff games. I mean, especially if you have the license to the seat, they hit you up and say, you know, playoffs are coming around, or you want them, you know.
Right.
So it's definitely a great opportunity, and definitely a team that's young and on the up and up that I don't think will become, you know, will be a bad investment at all.
Yeah, so hopefully I'll have to see. I've still got some thoughts to ponder, but I think I might end up with Niner tickets in 2014, so that's kind of exciting.
That's awesome, man. Well, that would be great. Well, I think that pretty much concludes Sports Card Live, another episode in the books. We'll see you next week. We'll confirm with Tracy that he'll be back. He says he's very sorry to everybody that did kind of come on and try to listen for Tracy, but he'll be back on. He's been on our podcast, and I know he's been on Sports Card Radio a couple times as well, so I know he's a man of his word, so we'll see him soon. Make sure you guys check out sportscardradio.com. We'll definitely have some contests up there where you can go on their forum and Ryan's forum and see what you can, you know, win something. So we'll kind of do something with the show here that you guys can win some cards or a spot in a break or something. So definitely check out sportscardradio.com. If you ever need any kind of checklist needs, SPs, they're all up there. So definitely check that out. And check out mojobreak.com. We just put up a bunch of new breaks. We got two randoms tomorrow. We're doing a case of limited 15-box case. It's which is 52 a spot, and it's random team, so there's 45 hits, you know, big hits in that case. Momentum, 37 a spot. We're doing that. Actually, I believe it's 39 a spot. I don't even know my own prices. And we put up a new hockey break with some SP game use, some limited museum collection, national treasures. So, and use code MOJOBREAK for 10% off on any break on the site. So, that pretty much concludes the show. Ryan, you got anything else to say to the folks out there in listener land?
Nothing at all. Just enjoy the NBA weekend and spring training, I guess.
Yeah, just starting up World Baseball Classic right around the corner, too.
There we go.
Well, yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate all the archive listens, all the downloads on the podcast, all the people that stuck around and chatted. Props to Milk Toast and Greg, all the guys in the chat here for hanging out with us. Nick Spencer as well, guy who called in last week, won a free spot. We're going to be doing free stuff all the time, kind of a little dangle the carrot so you guys can listen in on the show because we love doing it. So we're going to go ahead and hit the outro here. We'll see you guys again every Tuesday at 4 p.m. unless we notify you that we will not be on, which the summit may be a little difficult. We might have a time change there, which is Tuesday, the March 18th, 19th. We still got a few weeks for that. So, but every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, we will be live. And we'll catch you guys later.
Later.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Sports Card Live, sponsored by sportscardradio.com, mojobreak.com. Check us out every Tuesday live at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, or download us on iTunes.